welcome back to another episode of Talking Stocks. Joe and Todd with you here as always. Todd, how are you? It's a bit more of an optimistic week than last week. I feel a little bit better about things than last Friday. How about you?
It's amazing how our moods improve with price. You know, you get that bottom or a bottom. We don't know if it's the bottom. We'll talk more about that as the show progresses. But yeah, I feel you. It was pretty tough the last couple of weeks running up until this week. And it's good to see some green on the screen again, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And just even more generally than that, it's good to hear some good news about the economy. We got that big stimulus bill passed. I don't even remember now, yesterday or Wednesday, doesn't matter. I heard that people are going to be getting deposits into their bank accounts as soon as tomorrow. So that's going to be great news. And we'll dive into kind of the market implications of that in just a bit here. Yeah. And also the other amazing news is that Joe Biden said everybody, regardless of age, as long as they're an adult, will be able to get a COVID vaccine by May, or at least they'll be able to get an appointment for one. So I'm pretty optimistic, all things considered.
Yeah, you know, it's on those vaccines. It's in up here in New Hampshire where we record. It's been, you know, I'm 50, but I don't really have I'm not high on the list. And it's been like, geez, you know, at what point am I gonna get on this list? And I think that they're looking at later on this month, I'll actually be able to call up and get an appointment. So yeah, I mean, the more the maybe normal times are coming, you know, and that'll be nice to actually have some normal times to spend with family and friends this summer, right?
Absolutely. It'll be great to hopefully have a normal 4th of July with some fireworks again. Who knows? Maybe even Memorial Day. Could be sooner than that.
We'll find all sorts of ways to spend those stimulus checks, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I definitely want to talk about that. And I want to hear your take on what you think specifically kind of sector wise or even specific companies will really benefit from this stimulus, because on the surface, I know it's $1,400 per individual and it's got the income cap, but I know that there's a big bonus in there for households with children. So I know there are some households that could be getting close to a five-figure sum, if not more, in the coming weeks, which obviously is very significant. So there are lots of different ways that you can go with this, but feel free to kind of bring up whatever you think is best.
There's a few things that are on my mind. And, you know, one of the things that's on my mind is from an investing standpoint is what's next that people will get excited about. I mean, when we had the first stimulus, we always assumed that we'd have a second stimulus. That put a natural tailwind underneath share prices. Now with the next stimulus, the second stimulus being approved, the $1.9 trillion, once that's, then what? You know, it's, we had the Fed with the foot on the gas pedal all the way to the floorboards. They can't do anything more than that, right? We were putting money in people's pockets. That's great. But there's this sell the news issue that we have to reconcile as investors. And one of the reasons I think that markets continued to rise last fall after that first stimulus check was because we expected that there would be a second program and maybe a third program. I don't know. So maybe it's the infrastructure bill, the long awaited, much ballyhooed, never done infrastructure bill. Maybe we actually finally get one. And maybe that's what keeps investors excited. If not, I worry that, you know, investors are going to start to think less about, you know, all ships rising and more about the business cycle and inflation and positioning portfolios for maybe those mid and late cycle plays rather than, you know, early cycle rapid GDP growth plays, which typically benefits things like real estate and financials and technology stocks. And I think we may actually be seeing that right now. And the research is kind of suggesting to us right now that could be something that we're dealing with. But if that's on the zoom out, if you zoom in to your question, what baskets benefit? I think that it's a weird basket of you could probably draw. I would say that gambling stocks probably would be fine. You've got a little extra consumer discretionary income, and you've got sports theoretically opening back up and coming online. I think things in the gambling area, I mean, Churchill Downs, CHDN has been a perennial high scoring stock in our research for a while. I still like it, CHDN. And I think that maybe they are a good play. Obviously the online betting apps could theoretically be a good play. I think consumer discretionary clothing, mall retailers, oddly enough, could be big plays. I mean, you look at things like Abercrombie and American Eagle, and you'd be like, why are those stocks doing so well? And I think, you know, yeah, mall-based retail may actually do well because people are going to have to refresh their wardrobes and they're going to want to be outside and seeing other people to do it. So maybe they're going to actually go to a mall, which would be kind of a reversal of things. So, and then of course, I think, you know, going up the ladder a little bit, maybe some extra money would get spent on some of the nicer consumer discretionary things. And then of course, travel, you know, yep, things involving travel. I mean, CAR, Avis, is a monster scoring stock for us right now. And I think it's probably because people are thinking, okay, let's go somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Travel is definitely going to be one of those kind of weird ones. I could see another strange, just utterly bizarre price fluctuation in Carnival Cruise or Royal Caribbean in the coming months, where, you know, they might not be, I don't know if they're actively booking cruises for the near future at this point, but definitely could be kind of a buy the rumor price spike there. I would throw airlines in there as well. I would also throw Home Depot and Lowe's in there, because there are definitely people who are going to use the money to bolster their home office space, if you will, maybe add another bedroom because everybody's home all the time still. And personally, I really like Wayfair right now. So those are a few that I would add into the basket.
Yeah, I'm long Wayfair. I like it as well. W, yep. The symbol there. And I agree with you. You know, typically speaking, we get some seasonal play out of these garden center type stocks. Home Depot, Lowe's, Site One, SITE is the symbol there. I think one of your favorite stocks, Tractor Supply. Yep. You know, you do see some seasonal tailwinds supporting those naturally. I mean, you could also take a look at things like Scott's Miracle-Gro. You know, I mean, there's absolutely lots of different ways you can kind of play that summer seasonality trade, the being outside trade, the being with others, entertaining others, making a nice, you know, fire pit out back and being able to finally be able to invite a bunch of people over to come and have a couple beverages. Maybe that plays out well for the beverage makers. Maybe it's, you know, a Samuel Adams, Boston Beer, some SAM, maybe something like that as well.
Yeah, all the reopening certainly won't hurt those guys. So I want to take this opportunity to shift gears a little bit. We'll stay on the general bull market theme here. But you've been tweeting quite a bit this week about this concept of a follow-through day, which might not quite be as simple as it sounds. I know when I first saw you tweeting about this, I was not super familiar with the term. So for those who don't know, for those who are relatively new to the investing world, why don't you fill us in and just kind of tell us why this is something we should be on the hunt for, on the watch.
Right. Markets don't go up in a straight line, and they don't go down in a straight line either. So the worry is that as stocks are falling, you could get head fake rallies. So you get a bounce, rally, fall, bounce, rally, fall, just like you have on the upside, rally, pullback, rally, pullback, rally, pullback, right? So William O'Neill of IBD fame, Investor's Business Daily fame, he did all the number crunching and came up with something called a follow-through day. And a follow-through day is basically, think of it like a conviction day. So you didn't get the bottom, maybe, and now you're starting to move back up. Well, do you chase it as it's going back up, or do you sit on your hands? And the way that he answered that question was, you sit on your hands until you get what's called a follow-through day. And a follow-through day is defined as a 1% or greater up day on volume that's higher than the prior day's volume. And follow-through days typically occur between day 4 and day 20. And if the market were to fall below the day that it reversed on, then you'd start the count over again. You'd be looking through for a bottom and a follow-through day again. And if it gets too long without a follow-through day, then those early days fall off and you have to again start the count over. So I think that think of it more, Joe and listeners, as a conviction tool. So you're saying, how do I really want to dive in with both feet back into the market? Maybe not. Maybe what you want to do is you want to dip a toe in on individual stocks that score high, that have pulled back or that you happen to like or whatever, but save back a little bit of dry powder and wait for that conviction day. Stocks can climb without the conviction day. And that's what ropes people in. But without that conviction day, it could easily roll back over and slide back down. I'm going to share my screen. And, you know, viewers, listeners, we do the show these on YouTube as well. We post these to YouTube as well. So, you know, you can actually go on and see the charts we're looking at. I'll try to describe it for you, though, if you're on one of the podcast platforms listening to us. So I've got the QQQ, which is the NASDAQ 100 chart up. And Joe, I'm assuming you can see that okay?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. So you'll notice, Joe, that we had this big pullback, right, in February and March. 340, 338 was the peak here around February 16th. We slid down to the 50-day moving average, held the 50-day moving average for about a week, rolled back down to a new low, got down to about a few percent above the 200-day. We got down to 296, 297, which is about a 10% correction on the QQQ, right? And you at the same time, you got, see how this bar, you had this down day traded below the prior day low. Then you had a reversal with almost a finish right on its high, Joe. Okay, you see that? And then it was followed by a day where it was down, but the low never undercut that prior day. So this reversal day is day 1, 2, 3, 4. Now from here on, we're looking for that follow through day. And if you look at the rally we had on Thursday, where we actually bumped our heads on that downward now tilting 21-day and 50-day moving average, the volume was anemic. I mean, look at that. You look at the prior day's red volume, so much higher than that day's blue volume. And it needs to be both. It needs to be a 1% or more move, and it needs to be volume that's bigger than the prior day. So for example, today, right now, the market's down at 230 on Friday, right? We're down, we're trading lower. But if this was to reverse higher and finish up more than 1%, we would get that volume confirmation, right? Because we're almost at yesterday's volume right now at 230 today, right? If not, Joe, I'd be nervous. I've raised about 10% cash. I started something called Project Rotate last week. And as part of Project Rotate, I'm trying to align more of my portfolio with the highest scoring sectors in our research right now. You know, that means that I've started to buy some of the, more of the energy stocks as they've pulled back. They had a couple of days this week where they were down a little bit. I was able to build up some positions there. I bought things like Bank of America, BAC, high scoring bank in our research right now. And what I'm trying to do, and I think what one of the things the research may be hinting at, is that unlike March 2020, which was a wholesale sell everything because the economy is going to shut down, right? So we rallied up because we knew the Fed was going to put the hammer down and was going to just basically flood liquidity so the credit would expand and economy would come roaring back, right? The decline that we're seeing right now really is not that. It's valuation oriented, it's rotational. We're seeing technology slip, but the S&P barely drip. We're seeing the Dow Jones outperform. You know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average outperformed the NASDAQ considerably. And what what the research may be telling us right now, and actually I'll share my screen again and I'll go back to the services page so that we can take a look at this. So if you go to Seeking Alpha, Limelight Alpha, you go to Top Stocks for Tomorrow, and then you click on this, you'll see all this, all of our different reports. If you look at for example, today's best and worst large cap, right? Industrials, energy, financials, consumer, REITs. Technology is actually below average scoring. So, you know, what is this telling us? Now, if you go and open up the chat window for the service, there's a couple things that I've posted here that I think are kind of interesting. I want to share with people. You know, you can actually look at it here. I showed the large, mid, and small cap sector rankings. And again, technology, nowhere to be found at the top of the ranking. And that's not rare, because there is a price volume component to this, and they're in distribution right now. So it's not rare that they would drop out. And if you look up here, though, I have a chart with the average universe score being this black line over time, and the gray line being the technology sector average score. And what you'll notice is that the gray line is now below the black line, so below average. Doesn't happen very often, Joe. There are a few periods. If you go back here to 2014, probably about 2 months or so, where it was kind of trending below it. Over here in 2016, there's a 2 month period.
I can spot that sell off in late 2018 as well.
Late 2018, yep. Basically from October through December, below average. So it's not a great sign that technology is below. It could bounce back above. We'll keep our eye on it. But it could be hinting that, again, institutional investors are doing a rotation out of maybe these technology stocks where they've made a lot of money and more into these business cycle baskets, thinking, okay, if inflation rears up its head and GDP ends up slowing a little bit or at least maturing, maybe I don't want to be as much in technology. Maybe I want to be in some other baskets. I wanted to share this chart. This is from Fidelity. They crunched all the numbers. And Joe, you can see this chart?
Yep.
All right, great. So what the chart is showing for our listeners is all the sectors of the market, and then they've broken it out into columns: early cycle leaders, mid cycle leaders, late cycle leaders, and recession cycle leaders. And what they did is they looked at what area, what part of the cycle do each one of these sectors do really well in. And you can see here in the early cycle, when GDP growth is first accelerating back, it's a great time for consumer discretionary, information technology, industrials, real estate. But as you get further into the mid cycle and the late cycle, then it becomes more like consumer staples and energy, you know? And I think that that's one of the things that we could be looking at here is we could be saying, or investors could be saying, I'm not, you know, wholesaling everything out, but what I am doing is I'm starting to rotate a little bit more of my exposure 6 to 12 months ahead of when I anticipate that we would be towards the maturing of this business cycle. So I want to start dipping my toes into these inflation baskets that would benefit from rising commodity prices, so like energy, right? But I'm not going to just wholesale everything out, right? And technology does do, in technology, there was never a red on that screen that I just showed. There was never a period where technology you avoid it. It actually, some parts of technology could do very well in a high inflation environment and through in recession. But I think it's, again, it's a kind of a probabilities thing. And yesterday I had a great interview. So listeners, you can go back and listen to that podcast that I recorded with Jeffrey Hirsch of the Stock Traders Almanac. And we were just talking about the natural probabilities that we can see. And we're talking about post-election year probabilities. And it's uncanny how in the post-election year, Joe, and this is something else to keep in the back in your mind, in post-election years, historically, the NASDAQ is weak in February and March. Negative average returns. It's weaker than it would be normally under normal year. And it's not until April that it starts to reaccelerate. So we're now sitting here on March 12th. We have historical probability is that you get a little bit of weakness in the NASDAQ after a mid-month bump up. You would kind of trend lower. And then maybe that's the low that you really would want to commit to if you ended up getting a retest of the prior low that we set at the beginning of the month. So this, Joe, I know I threw a lot of information out there, but it's just some of the things that are going through my mind right now as I'm trying to digest the recent market action and what our research might be saying right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to dive into some of those top picks. So we had talked about tech and how there's there's a little bit of bearishness there perhaps, but there are still absolutely some shining stars, right? So one of the ones that I've had my eye on this week, if you wouldn't mind pulling up the chart for this, Todd, is Dropbox. Symbol is DBX. Full disclosure, I have owned this stock since I was 18 years old, and I finally turned a profit on it today.
You owned it way back here.
Yeah. I owned it way back there, back when my strategy was frankly very ignorant and naive, but also just generally speaking very different. I was looking at value-oriented stocks. I had very little money in the market. Not to say that I have a ton now, I certainly don't. But my strategy was different, and so I didn't have the luxury at that point to be buying like multiple shares of these hugely inflated stocks, you know, like the Googles and the Amazons of the world. So I picked out this one and looked at, you know, did my due diligence, and it looked like a great play. And that was in, yeah, I guess it was 2018. Okay. So I haven't held it for quite as long as I thought.
And Joe, I mean, if you look at that, I mean, you weren't wrong from a business perspective. I mean, the company went from earning 41 cents a share in 2018 to earning expected to earn a 93 cents in 2020. And in 2022, $1.44. So I think it probably was more of a timing thing. I think listeners, there's a great lesson here too, is that the business can be improving while the stock is in distribution. So you can lose money even if the business is improving.
Absolutely. And there were a couple times where I looked at it, and at one point I was down over 20%. And it was just a laggard in my portfolio for so long. And I looked and I'm like, well, what the heck is going on here? And there was no real good underlying reason for it. It's a very strong business. As you can see, they're very profitable. And so I was like, you know what? No, I'm gonna hold on. I'm gonna hold out. I don't need to deploy that cash somewhere else. And right now it scores 100 in our research. So yeah. I think there might be a little bit more, running room there. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'd love to see it get to 30. Right. At the risk of sounding like an ad, free link below, this is where the research can really help, because it can eliminate that dead money time, right? All that period of time where the stock was stagnant could have been invested in something else that was higher scoring and doing well. So it was dead money for that, you know, X number of period of time that you owned it. And then when the stock score jumps, that allows you then to rotate into it. And I agree. I think you're onto something here. I mean, I'm looking at this. I think I want to buy it. 13% year-over-year growth in the most recent quarter. Again, you got that 38% lift in EPS expected in 2021. Beautiful chart setup. Love the price volume action in here. Relative strength rating is low, but is turning up. Yeah, Joe, I like it. I think you're onto something. And of course, I love the fact that it's got 100 score.
Of course. So speaking of high scoring stocks, let's move on to 3M, symbol MMM, one of my favorite symbols in the whole universe, quite honestly. So again, full disclosure, one that I've owned for a while. I like it a lot. I love how diversified they are as a company. And they pay a nice little dividend as well. If I'm not mistaken, this is also 100 score in our research. Yeah, 3.2% dividend yield there. So nothing to write home about, but it's certainly better than nothing. I believe they fall into that elite basket of what are called dividend aristocrats, where ever since they started paying a dividend, they have not lowered or suspended that dividend at any point. I might be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think 25 years or more is it gets you a dividend aristocrat status if it increases. And Joe, like it. 10% revenue growth expected in 2021. Slower on the top line, but they're able to leverage that. This is kind of like one of those boring, late maturing GDP cycle stocks that we were just talking about, that you might want to tuck some of these into your portfolio to kind of balance off the risk in some of these tech heavy names.
Yeah, it's not as exciting as Facebook or Peloton or any of those, but everything can't be. And it's a very old company. They're well over 100 years old, and it's proven to be a pretty stable stock. They have their if you will, they have their toes dipped in many different pools, and so they've got some defense. They've got all sorts of like sealing products that go into basically any piece of heavy machinery that you can imagine. So yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on.
You know, Joe, just to piggyback on top of that, I'll throw another name similar to that, and that's Waste Management. High scoring stock for us right now, and kind of like a boring, slow grow kind of business, right? But think about it. It's a great company. Yeah. And if restaurants are opening back up again, you got more and more trash you got to haul, right? Business people getting outside again, business occurring. Summertime, when you're remodeling and you got to get that big dumpster in the front yard so you can throw all your garbage into it, all the stuff, the debris into it. Typically, actually, a seasonally strong time, believe it or not, for plays like Waste Management. And again, double digit EPS growth expected in 21. 5 to 6% revenue growth, which is fine for a company like this, a mature cycle type play, and a small dividend of about 2%.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about companies like Waste Management is that they're just so stable. You can always count on that Waste Management truck showing up once a week to pick up your garbage, regardless of what happens. And
right.
And
to that point, look at that 2014 through 2022 EPS, just that steady climb in earnings per share, 243 to 261 to 291 to 322 to 420 to 440 to 473.
Yeah. And they really didn't miss too much in 2020 either. So the last one that I want to pull up, I have two more. So second to last one, Todd, you hinted at it earlier. One of my favorites is Tracker Supply, TSCO. Yes, you got it. So I'm long this one as well. Bought in around the new year, if I recall correctly. This falls into that. It falls into a couple of different baskets, but it falls into that consumer discretionary kind of home building and remodeling basket that Home Depot and Lowe's fall into. So spring is around the corner. If you live in the Southern United States, spring is already here. If you live in the Northeast, we call this fool spring. so we're not quite there yet. They could still be selling some snow shovels at their locations in Northern New England. Long story short, they're a bit larger than like a traditional Ace Hardware store. And so they thrive when the weather is good, and you know, buildings are being raised and seeds are being planted and all of that. So definitely this one is high scoring as well. I don't recall what the score is.
I think it's a 90 plus score, and I agree with you. I'm long it as well. One of the things that we can't forget about Tractor Supply is that a lot of them are freestanding locations, which means that they have all this parking lot area around them that they can also use as merchandising space. And that's one of their plans this year, is to really, really play into the garden theme, home and garden, by leveraging that extra space to boost sales per square foot. So that's another reason that I'm a fan of Tractor Supply this year. And also, rural home sales through the roof over the course of the last year because of COVID. So you've got a lot more people who are buying, owning homes in these rural areas that Tractor Supply supplies.
Right. And more importantly, moving out to, you know, moving from an apartment in the city to a home in the suburbs or beyond the suburbs, where they have land that they can, as you said before, put a fire pit out back, or put a patio out back, or buy a grill. So lots to love about Tractor Supply. The last one that I wanted to bring up is NVCR, NovoCure. So this might be a little bit counterintuitive, honestly, because we showed the sector scorings earlier, and healthcare is not that great, but NovoCure is not tra- traditional, it's not a traditional healthcare stock. So for those of you who don't know, you can, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can read the little blurb here. But essentially they create this technology that's called Tumor Treating Fields. And in layman's terms, it essentially zaps cancer tumors and prevents them from growing. And so they have a couple of different FDA approvals for a particular type of brain cancer in the frontal lobe area. So kind of like up here, about where the logo is on my hat. And also for mesothelioma, which if you've ever watched television in the United States, you know all about. So they are, they have a couple more, they call them indications, but in layman's terms, it's essentially another kind of cancer that they can treat with their devices. So they have a couple more, it's either two or three more in their clinical pipeline that are set to be approved by the FDA this year. So they've been,
I think we'll get data this year, Joe. I don't think we're going to get approvals this year. I think we're going to get data, you know. I know that the lung cancer trial, we're going to get interim data on from that. I'm not sure if they've actually filed for anything yet, but this is definitely a data rich period from the clinical trials and the potential to expand the use of these tumor treating fields into these other much larger indications. I mean, like glioblastoma, you're talking about the brain cancer indication. That's very small compared to the potential opportunity in non-small cell lung cancer. Absolutely. But I do want, listeners should be aware this is a pretty high risk stock because, I mean, whenever you're dealing with clinical trial readouts, there is the risk that it doesn't go the way that you think it might. And that can cause the stock to swoon. But I, like you, Joe, I love this stock and I'm actually long.
Yeah, it seems like it might be at a pretty good price right now. I want to see it get up into the 140s before I opened a position. So I've got the on my screen here, which I can't share because it's on a different computer, but I've got the 30-day moving average, and the 30-day is at 162 right now as we're recording, where the price is at 137. So there's a little bit of a gap that needs to be filled there. I'd like to see that gap fill a little bit more before I open up a position. So maybe getting into the 145 to 150 range, kind of at the bottom of like that lower band of their 30-day moving average.
I think it's also important to point out on this one, Joe, that, you know, you don't normally see this with, because this isn't a biotech, it's more of a physics healthcare kind of company. And but it is profitable already. So they're making money already on the recurring sales of the arrays that go on your head that you wear or whatever. They're making money. In 2020, expected to make 20 cents per share. And then, of course, from then on, it's just going to depend on those label expansions. But that's also a plus. And the final thing that I'd point out on NovaCure, too, is this up here, we get 6.2 days to cover held short. So if you do get positive data out of these important trials, you could certainly see that force shorts to cover and, you know, provide a tailwind to the shares.
Absolutely. Any others that you'd like to add to our ever-growing basket?
I know. We could go on all day, right? I already mentioned Churchill Downs. I did mention I'm picking up some energy stocks. This is one of the ones I recently added to the portfolio. CNX Resources, symbol CNX, coming out of this nice little base here. $1.07, already still making money. You know, was even making money during, it's a shale play. Was still making money even with the low oil prices. So I think that's really interesting because you get this really nice rise in commodity oil prices in the first quarter. We haven't even reported first quarter earnings yet. So you're going to see tailwinds from that, especially from, you know, some of these producers that maybe haven't hedged. Some have hedged, some others haven't hedged. So keep an eye on that. So that's one of the ones I would mention. I'd also mention in the boring camp, Everest Re. Reinsurance group. You don't necessarily think that is a stock that you're going to go out and make a ton of money on, but geez, you know, Joe, I really like the potential with if rates are going to go a little bit higher. Remember, all of these insurance companies, they're making the money off of their investments, right? And the other thing to keep in mind too with the reinsurers that when you do have a lot of damage, so for instance, Texas, right, where we had all that damage because of the ice storms and everything else, you end up with pricing power in the property and casualty group. So that tends to flow through to the reinsurance group as well. So I added this one to my portfolio as well. Symbol there again, RE. And this is kind of a fun one, Joe, that popped up in the research scores. And I'm watching World Wrestling Entertainment, maybe a reopening play, reopening stock, the WWE. And I don't know how familiar you are, Joe, with non-fungible tokens, but one of the first things, NFTs, blockchain collectibles, I thought of is, you know, if Top Shot is selling, you know, NBA highlights, oh, you got to bet there's a market for WWE highlights.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, you've got a potential bounce back in earnings per share between 2020 and 2022. You still have that headwind going on right now because of the COVID, but you are seeing some improving money flow over the short term, price rising, not a lot of down days. Coming into a little bit of resistance here around 60, I'd probably want to see it clear that 60, pull back, and then buy on that pull back in the high 50s.
There you go. All right. So, screen unshared, smattering over, and I believe with that, episode over. Any parting words for us?
No, just stay safe out there. Wait for your follow-through day. Don't overcommit.
Yes, and wait for your vaccine appointment before you go out and start getting too reckless. All right, everybody. We will see you next week. Take care.